All right, y'all. We'll continue in our study. Put this over here out of the way. Continue in our study about the story of Christmas, the lessons we can learn from the story of Christmas. Last week we talked about Mary and her interaction with the Lord over her being with child, with Jesus, and bringing Jesus into the world, and what an amazing opportunity that was for her. And it must have been a fear-filled opportunity, anxiety-filled opportunity. But ultimately, we were able to be reminded that it was Mary and her willingness to be available to the Lord for whatever he would do is what allowed God to use her to bring Jesus into the world, and she got to experience the whole thing. What an amazing situation for this young girl, and who would become the mother of Jesus himself, and then raise him, of course, in a world to become a young man who would be the savior of the world. You want to talk about some stress and some responsibility, right? I don't know how many young men I've ever met who get married and then suddenly they're about to have a baby, and you can just see their face lose all the color in it when they realize, okay, there's a person coming into this world that I'm going to be responsible for for a while, not just for a minute. I'm not just babysitting. This is a responsibility that I seems too big to handle. And yet here's Mary and Joseph. Of course, we're going to talk about him today. These parents have been given this great, not only a great responsibility as parents, but the parents of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one God would bring into the world to take on the sins of man so that we could all be reconciled with him. I don't think there's any greater responsibility ever, aside from carrying the gospel the way we're commanded to. So this is exciting. Now, it's a little bit challenging this morning because we're going to talk about Joseph and what we can learn from what we know about Joseph, which is not much at all. Joseph being the husband of Mary and the one who raised Jesus with Mary, right? Nobody talks about him. There's nothing in Scripture that says that he ever said a word about anything. Surely he talked. Surely there was conversations, right, between him and Mary about a lot of things. But it doesn't say, there's no recorded words from Joseph anywhere to be found, in the Scripture at least, right? So how do we learn? How can we learn anything from Joseph? I don't know about you, but I was told by my father and a few other wise older men throughout my life that wise people don't talk very much. They do more listening than they do talking, right? And I, unfortunately, as a teenager, I had to learn that lesson the hard way a few times. That's just the way my personality was, right? It's better to listen and gather information than it is to spew out information that may or may not be helpful or beneficial or even accurate and make yourself a fool. So I look at Joseph, this guy, who ends up being in Scripture for us to learn from, yet nobody recorded anything he ever said, but it's what he did and who he was that spoke the loudest to us. You see, God knows what he's doing when he put the Bible together through all these people that he used to write these truths down, right? He knew that we didn't need to hear from Joseph. We just need to know about him to learn some things about who we should be and what it looks like to be a person who believes in God, a person who follows God, a person who is a God-fearer or a child of God. I think that Joseph and Mary were the picture-perfect young regular couple. Young people got googly-eyed over each other and they want to get married, right? And their parents are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get them married. And they're just, everything's going as planned. If you look around the world today, the same thing is happening for people who still get married and people who still believe in God. That their plan is that we're going to get married and we're going to have the ceremony and we're going to have the family together and we're going to do everything to make it a great celebration and honor God, and everybody looks forward to it. There's a lot of stress surrounding it, but it's supposed to be a time of joy because great things are happening. And of course, the whole time, the young couple are thinking about the future and building a life together, building a house, or maybe starting a family, just like any other couple would. And so here's Mary and Joseph thinking the same thing, right? There's nothing out of the ordinary by what they're doing. They're going through the traditional motions to become husband and wife, and they surely have discussed the plans that they would have for the rest of their life, starting a family and raising their children to know God and to be great average people like they were. How many of y'all have ever had plans for your life that got disrupted? Yeah, we all have been there. Sometimes in great ways, in ways that we never expected, that turned out to be a great blessing, but other times in ways that were just traumatic and life-changing in a, we would call, negative way. Life-altering ways. Because life happens, doesn't it? And there's a lot of things in life that we're not in control of. And Joseph and Mary were just two regular people trying to do what regular people do in the world. And God had other plans. Of course, we know what the plan was, because last week we talked about Mary's encounter, and when she was told that she would be with child, and that it would be the Holy Spirit that would put the child in her womb. So that's what we know. But at first, Joseph doesn't know that. As far as Joseph is concerned, he's getting married, and he's got his bride ready to go. All they're doing is waiting for time to go by, for things to happen in the order that it's supposed to happen, and that one day they're going to be married, officially husband and wife. The whole world's going to know it, and they're going to go on with their plans. But Mary shows up pregnant. That wasn't the plan. And I think last week I tried to help us just to suggest, let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of Mary. How would we feel? What might we think? What might we do or not do? And today we should do the same. If I'm Joseph, what on earth, right? How is he supposed to feel? How is he supposed to think? What's supposed to go through his mind in this kind of a situation? Because normally, young girls aren't with child by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen. And man's understanding of how it really does happen, it ain't but one way. So something's wrong here in the mind of Joseph. Am I right? Something's wrong. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 18, and I'm going to read through verse 25, and let's read about what happens here, and then we'll discuss it for a quick minute. Verse 18 of chapter 1 in Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Verse 22, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Now that is a verse 18 to 25, a short few verses out of the entire Bible to describe this whole situation. I don't personally believe that that's real fair to Joseph. I'm not questioning what God did and when he wrote the Bible. I'm just saying there was a lot more going on, and it was a way bigger deal to Joseph than just those few verses explained. If you think about it. If you're putting yourself in his shoes. Because your wife, your one you're betrothed to, the whole world already assumed that she's his wife. She shows up with child. There's a problem. And it's not just a contractual problem or a technical problem. This is an emotional betrayal kind of problem. This is the girl that he loves and that he thought loved him. It doesn't matter what the truth is. In this situation, when your fiance shows up with child and you know there ain't no way for that to be possible on your part, you're not going to be able to avoid the emotions that come with it and the thoughts that come with it. The hurt and the pain that he must have felt in all of this. It's odd to me, and that's just my opinion is worth zero when it comes to how the Lord put the word of God together, so it's just odd to me that verse 18, it's all that it says about this whole situation. It says the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they became together, she was found to be with child. Like it's not that big of a deal for Joseph. This was the end of his world. This was a big deal for Joseph. This was a major problem for him. And if we understand the culture, let me get you back where we're looking. If you understand the culture, he had every right in the world to throw her out in the street as an adulteress and have her stoned over this matter. Which most likely would have happened in most other cases with different people. But we're talking about Joseph here. Regular Joe. He's just a regular fella. He's nothing super special. He's a guy who probably would have been lost in the crowd of regular people. He didn't seem to stand out. If he did, we'd hear more about him and hear more from him. He didn't talk much that was important to the Word of God as far as the writings go. He seemed like a humble person. Seemed like a responsible husband to Mary. Seemed like a good father to Jesus. Taught him how to be a carpenter. Growing up, taking care. Except for that time they lost him at the temple. Remember that? How do you lose your kid, right? Once you painted. I mean, they were gone. They were like down the road gone. I'm like, hey, anybody seen Jesus? Not only did you lose your kid, but you lost the Son of God, y'all. So we know he wasn't perfect, right? He was a skilled, hard worker, just a regular Joe, right? Probably the first regular Joe. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But he's just a regular guy. What can we learn? Well, he's in this situation, and he does not throw Mary to the street to be stoned. He doesn't choose to do that. He works through his emotions and he comes to this conclusion that I'm just going to dismiss her privately, send her away to spare her life, to spare her embarrassment. Make it disappear and I'll get me another wife somewhere else. Tells me that he actually loved her, even in her, what seemed to be to him, her betrayal. He would have been described as a forgiving man. Because if he didn't forgive, he would have had her stoned. He would have looked for some kind of retaliation. But he said, no, I'm just going to dismiss her quietly, send her away. apparently the contract is null and void. The agreement is no longer in place because she apparently is off doing something different. That's going through his mind. Has to be going through his mind. Any normal person would go down this road. So, look what else it says here in verse 20. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm probably not. I don't feel like I'd be sleeping because of this. I'd be so distraught over this kind of a situation if this were to happen. Because it's like your whole world, your whole future, all your hopes and dreams with the girl that you love are in the trash, apparently. So it would seem. And so he's asleep. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him. I take great comfort in this whole interaction right here. That God would see his despair, see his hurt, see his pain, and see his anxiety, and come to him and help him understand. And give him what he needs to get where he needs to be with God's plan. That's the kind of God that we have, y'all. When life isn't happening the way we think it's supposed to happen or the way we plan for it to happen, and we've all been there, you can trust that God will come into your life in some way, form, or fashion and help you understand what's real and what's not real, what's true and what's not true, the way it is and the way it isn't, and what His will is according to what your will is. Isn't that great, y'all? That's the kind of God that we have. What if Joseph really did just dismiss her? What if he were to throw her in the street and have her stoned to death? He had free will. He could have done those things. He could have sent her off to have this baby somewhere else and just totally wrote her off from his life. He had the choice to do that. But here comes the Lord. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he tells him this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." In case you didn't know it, people talk about people in the world in ugly ways. There's gossip that happens. Gossip has been happening since Cain and Abel, since Adam and Eve got thrown out of the garden. Right? I wonder if Adam was talking to himself, gossiping about Eve after they got thrown out. There's nobody else at the moment, right? It's like, man, I told her not to eat that. She told me to, just gossiping. Gossip is bad. Gossip is so ugly, it destroys people and their lives. And you can imagine this young girl married, turning up with child, the whole community is looking at that going, what on earth is going on here? We didn't know she was that kind of girl. Wonder what Joseph's going to do. If I was him, I would do this. If I was him, I would. And it goes on and on. Even if he really wanted and loved her so much, I'm going to take her as my wife, and maybe nobody will notice, people still know. And they would still have that on their family for the rest of their lives. You know Jesus is not really Joseph's kid, right? You know that. People talk like that. And they would even eventually probably, maybe, possibly be shunned from the community because of the drama behind the whole structure of this family. That's why the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, the first thing, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take this girl as you planned to be your wife. Your plans are still in order. They're just bigger than what you thought. You ever think about that? You ever think about your plans for your family and your plans to serve the Lord and your plans in the world for your life? You ever think that God, put together with God's plans, they're way bigger than you could ever dream? Right? All I ever wanted to do was make enough money to pay my bills so I can do the stuff I like to do in the world. I never even thought about preaching the gospel. I never thought about being married to a an amazing wife. I never thought about having an amazing kid to grow up to be an amazing young man. I never thought about all that stuff. Those were God's plans. Y'all, we have to look at Joseph, and he's having this dream, and God's coming into his life saying, hey, let's just take a breath. Take a deep breath right now. Because there's some things that you don't know. And there's some things that you need to know. And Mary is not who she appears to be in your mind right now. She's still the same girl you fell in love with. But I got her doing something special. And you're involved. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? That Joseph is sitting here. I mean, he's taking a nap. And the Lord comes and says, hey, everything is cool. Everything is the way it should be. Your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her, is of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what goes through every man's mind whose wife, spouse, girlfriend, or whatever is found to be cheating on him. Who is the man? Now, I hope none of y'all know about that, because hopefully you never had to deal with it. But when it happens, the question always is, okay, who was it? That's our natural reaction. I wonder if that was going on with Joseph. Like, what on earth? You go off, visit your aunt, and you come back. What's going on? And so he's answering the question. God comes in and says, there is nobody else. It's the Holy Spirit. This is my plan. This is holy. This is right. There's nothing out of line. She has not sinned against you. And then he says, he explains it even further in verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know how many people spend months and months, maybe even years, looking in a book of names trying to figure out what they're going to name their kid? When God shows up and says, you're going to name your kid this, that's what you're going to do. You're going to name him this. Because that's what the Lord said to do. How much relief must have come into his heart in this moment? It's kind of confusing to me, because if I'm putting myself in his shoes, I'm thinking I got all this anxiety and all this these horrible feelings about the whole situation, and now I'm confronted by an angel of the Lord. A whole different set of anxieties are coming about because of the presence of the Lord, right? And now all of a sudden I've been exposed to this great plan, this big, huge event that's about to happen. And the Lord says to me, and you're involved in that. I need you to do this for that. You ever think about it that way, y'all? You ever think about who you are in Christ? You ever think about what the Lord has said to us through this word, saying, hey, I got this big master plan going on. It's the same story, by the way. He's just telling Joseph, here's your part in it. By the time we read where Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples, he's just saying to you and me, if you believe and you want to be saved, here's your part in it. The same plan. It's the same master plan, just a different part. Isn't that amazing? And Joseph should have been the happiest person on the planet. Right? It's like, oh, my wife isn't who I thought she was. She really is who I thought she was. Right? She's not who she appeared to be, but she's who I thought she was. Everything is fine. And there's more. I get to be a part of God's plan. And then, uh-oh, God wants me to raise his kid. How do you do that? Well, you don't leave him at the temple and walk off. That's one thing you don't do. This is how God interacts with his people, if we're paying attention. Joseph must have been a man who knew about God, who worshiped God, who grew up learning about the things of God. Because when this angel of the Lord, when this message came to him in his dream, it tells him that this will happen as it was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. He's reminding him of what the prophet has already said long ago. Right? And everybody who's Jewish should be waiting for this. They should be waiting for the Messiah. And here it is. He's having this dream. And he's like, the Messiah's coming, and you're gonna take Mary, and Mary's gonna have this baby, and that's gonna be the Messiah. What do you think about that, Joseph? I kind of think maybe he was speechless. What do you think? That's why there's nothing written down about what he said. He's like, what? We're gonna do what? He must have been what I call like a pillar of a man. You know? He's going through a lot of emotions here in these short verses. His mind must be blown. His heart must be twisted up and wrung out a couple times between joy and anxiety and pain and hurt and sorrow and mad and angry and whatever temptations that Satan may have put into his heart about dealing with the whole thing. Look what it says. Let me get to it. Verse 24. Yeah. It says, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife." I don't think verse 24 explains it very thoroughly either. It just says it as a matter of fact. Oh, he woke up and did what God told him to do. How many of y'all wake up every day and do what God tells you to do? Don't raise your hand and don't lie. Right? Because we all know that we don't always do what God tells us to do, even when it's obvious what to do or not do. And yet we still fall short. If anybody's ever explained it well, what it means to live like that, it was Paul. I keep doing what I shouldn't do, and I can't do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm trying as hard as I can, but I just can't make it happen. And I know it in my mind, and I feel it in my heart, but I just can't make myself. It's just this thing. And Joseph, in this life-altering event or series of events, stands firm and trusts God. See, last week we saw that Mary was willing to be available to God. And God used her to do this great thing to bring Jesus into the world. Now we're looking at a man who just wakes up, recognizes that God is speaking truth into his life, and he says, you know what? I'm going to accept the words of God. I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. The words I see in the New American Standard, which I just read from, is the angel of the Lord, he did as the Lord commanded him. I think way too many times God's people read his word and don't realize that there's some commands in here. And somehow we've allowed ourselves to think that what we read in the Bible are suggestions or bits of wisdom or pieces of advice that we can take or throw away. But God says to go into the world and love people. Make disciples. Telling them about Him and about Jesus, the Lord, our Savior. Testify. Trust that I'll go with you everywhere. That's a command, y'all. And at some point, we're going to wake up and go do what he's commanded us to do. Just like Joseph did. Just a regular guy. And he had a choice to make. When he woke up from that nap and wiped that boogers out of his eye, he could have said, nah, that's not going to happen. I'm out. I don't believe it. He could have woke up and said, no, it was just a dream. That wasn't God. Can you imagine? How do you know? How did he know it was God? How did he know it wasn't just a dream? How does he know he didn't just dream that? Because that's really he was trying to find some other reason for this to be happening. So in his heart, he makes up this big story. How does he just conclude this is from the Lord? I think it has something to do with the Lord reminding him about prophecy, for one thing. And it has something to do with him being a man of God to start with. No doubt he would have recognized the Lord, just like Mary did, when the Lord showed up to her and said, "Hey, you're going to be with child." She's just like, "Why? How can this be done to me?" And she's all acting like she's in the presence of holiness. These are godly young people, y'all. That's who God uses. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we can't forget about the things that God did to bring him into the world. We can't forget about the people that he used to bring him into the world so that we could all have a Savior. We cannot forget about how all this came about. You can make disciples without saying a word. Hello? You can participate in bringing the gospel into the world without being a big deal to the world. You don't have to be a famous person. You don't have to be well known. You don't have to be some church that everybody knows about. You can just be regular people who love Jesus so much that you can't stop loving people, because that's what we're commanded to do. You know, when I first started looking at this, I was like, we're going to talk about Mary, we're going to talk about Joseph to start with. What can we learn? There's nothing in here about Joseph except for this little bit, and then that time they left him at the temple. There's no other conversations about him and how he did things and what kind of man he was and what he was involved in. Doesn't even say when he died. There's all kinds of speculations if he died earlier or later or what happened. Because it doesn't matter. It mattered to Mary, and it mattered to Jesus, and it might have mattered to some of their family that they lived with, but in the bigger picture of the kingdom of God and what God is doing, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter if I live to be 53 or if I live to be 103. What matters is, am I obedient to the Lord while I'm here? Am I a part of the plan or not? Am I engaged in what the Spirit of God is leading me to do as a believer or not? And here's what we can't lose sight of. Both Mary and Joseph were human beings created by God. And what we all have in common is God created us with free will. The ability to choose, right? The ability to say yes or no. The ability to hear from the Lord and then react to it. No one forced Mary or Joseph to go along with what God's doing. God didn't force them. Now, because God's all-knowing, surely he knew that they would be obedient. Surely he knew that they would be available. Surely he knew their hearts, just like he knows mine and yours. Just like he knows what you're going to do, what you're going to choose to do, what you're going to refuse to do. Nothing surprises him. This is why grace is so amazing. Because even when he knows that I'm going to fall short and just kind of not be obedient or not react in the best way or not get on board with his plan, grace and the opportunity for repentance allows me to get back in line with him. And that's the whole reason Jesus came into the world, so that we could have the opportunity not only to have this free will and choose God or not choose God, but also when we can't get it right, we can try again. Hello? That's where everybody goes, praise the Lord, thank God, and hallelujah. Because if we were out the first time we failed, we'd never be in to start with. Thank the Lord for Joseph and Mary, for their willingness to be available and their willingness to be obedient. Notice Joseph didn't ask a bunch of questions. Notice he didn't say, "Why'd you pick me?" Why do you have to disrupt my life to make this happen? You know, who knows what kind of questions? Like Moses, on the other hand, Moses is like, what? You're going to want me to do what? I can't do that. Get somebody else. Surely you're mistaken. It's a big argument between Moses and God, but not with Joseph. Joseph just wakes up, washes his face, and says, okay, where's my wife? Let's do this. And was faithful to her, from all we can know. God loves you. He loved you so much he sent Jesus into the world so that he would die and go to the cross. It's the gospel, y'all. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. Somebody asked me one time, not this church, different church. Somebody asked me, why do you keep preaching the gospel at the end of your messages? And why do you keep doing the invitation when you know everybody in here is saved? Two reasons. One, because it's true. And I don't mind saying it. I like talking about it. And two, because I'm charged to preach the gospel. Period. I preach the gospel if ain't nobody in here. I'm trying to be obedient to whatever the Lord's called me to do. And I pray that you guys would do the same. During Christmas time or any other time, that we would be willing to be available and willing to be obedient. Not just at Christmas, but that Christmas would be the reminder to us. Right? After all, our Savior, Jesus, the one who was born to Mary, he was obedient to God's plan. He had a choice, and he chose to go to the cross. He chose, not only that, he chose to leave, remember Philippians, he chose to leave the presence of God to come here in the flesh, and then chose to go to the cross. Even after having a discussion with the Father, can we do something different, because this is bad. But your will be done, right? Your will be done. So when we sing Joy to the World, as we're going to do again today, when we sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, when we sing all these songs about around Christmas, don't forget about Joseph. He's like the guy that stands in the corner that everybody knows he's there, but nobody really ever says anything to him, right? Anytime you see a Christmas play, right? He's just the guy that's on there. You don't have a line, he just stands up there next to Mary. But he was powerful. He was powerful in the Christmas story. You and I can be powerful in the Christmas story if we just continue to be obedient to who we are in Christ.